Hello, welcome to Triathlonology, a triathlon podcast by Animus Racing Team. I'm Oliver.
And I'm Jackie. We are a mum and son coaching team who have changed our lives through the sport of triathlon.
Our podcast aims to break down the mysteries of triathlon training and show you, the listener, how simple and flexible it can be so that it really does become part of your lifestyle and not just a hobby. We don't do a lot of adverts for anything really, and certainly not for things that we don't believe in. So this is really unusual for us to say, this is an advert for Position One.
Yep, I've got to say, they are the most comfortable triathlon clothing that I've ever worn, and also their chamois cream is to die for.
Socks are really comfortable. I'm actually wearing them now, and it's like having slippers on my feet. So we have tested this product for probably the best part of 6 months and really, really rate them, and they are excellent. You can buy them online at the Position One website and use the discount code Oliver, that's O-L-I-V-E-R, to get 10% off. You've been listening to us to witter on about our triathlon experience, but we always say that we are triathlon coaches and you can be coached by us online.
Yep, we use Training Peaks as our delivery platform, which is really simple to use. Sessions are delivered direct to your phone or watch or whatever thing that you use the morning of your sessions.
For more details about pricing, how it all works, go on our website, link is in the show notes, or then drop us a message either here or Instagram or Facebook and we'll get in touch with you. Thank you. Hello and welcome to another episode of Triathlonology, a podcast by Animus Racing Team.
I'm Coach Jackie.
And I'm Coach Oliver, and together we're a mother and son coaching team from South Yorkshire in England, dispelling no-nonsense advice in a very Yorkshire way.
Yeah.
In today's episode, we're going to talk a bit more about swimming and some of the usual travails that people have with that.
Yeah, because we often get messages from people saying, oh, can you help me with my swimming? I can't do more than 25, 50 metres before I'm absolutely shattered. But I can run an half marathon and I can cycle from Land's End to John O'Groats, but this swimming lark can't do it. That is the most common thing that we get asked.
And it's not that they're not fit, but swimming is just different, or breathing for swimming is just different to any other form of exercise that you'll do, mainly because it's a subconscious issue, because swimming breathing takes place underwater, where you're told that you will be drowned from being very small, compared to cycling and running or other sports where you just breathe because it's natural and nobody ever thinks about it.
Yeah. So why do you think, Oliver, then, that you get, why are people so struggle so much with the breathing?
Well, confidence in being in the water is usually lower. Not really feeling confident about being a swimmer, and then thinking to themselves, well, I can only swim 25 metres, and then I get in a panic, which makes them more tense, so they're not relaxed either. And not breathing out enough. That's generally the problem that certainly I think when we've been teaching people to swim and watching people swim, the most common problem that they have is is breathing out not enough.
Because they hold on to the breath. Mm. And then that, you know, that helps, that makes the legs sink and everything. It all stems from your breathing.
It just makes you more tense.
It makes you panic.
You don't get rid of your carbon dioxide that you need to get rid of. And so all you're doing really is just storing more and more carbon dioxide up. And that's why you can't get a breath in, or you start to get flappy about it, because you are breathing in, but because you aren't breathing out sufficiently, there's only so much room left in your lungs to take in oxygen.
Mm. So like your lungs are like this, but you're only like breathing, getting that much air in. Mm. So it's physics.
When you're, or biology.
Well, biology, and I think physics comes into it a lot. But I'm tricky with physics.
The way that I often describe it to novice swimmers and people who are a bit more nervous is that you have to think of it as being like hydro yoga, because yoga is all about breath, and centering yourself and being confident and relaxed and focusing on breathing in and out and making good breaths in, good breaths out. Swimming is exactly the same. If you don't have good breaths in, good breaths out, then you're going to struggle no matter how far you swim. If you know, your mind finding you absolutely knackered by the time you get to 25 or 50 meters and you can't go any further and you haven't to have a rest, it's probably because you're not breathing out enough so that you can't have enough of a breath in.
And also, I think people think they've got to use the legs like they're running. So like the
thrashing
the legs like this, and there's water going all over and their arms are going. So there's no wonder you're exhausted, because that makes you exhausted.
And there's no, I mean, even the best swimmers in the world, as we'll soon see in what, June, July, August, when the Olympics start.
Yeah.
Hardly, they don't thrash their legs like you see people thrashing their legs in the local swim baths. They just don't. It's a much more controlled thing, because in an elite swimmer, legs actually contribute about 15% of their propulsion. So most of that means, you know,
been swimming since you were about seven.
Well, yeah, and swimming like 60K a week.
Yeah.
But that means 85% of an elite level swimmer's propulsion is generated not from their legs. But you often find this with age group athletes, certainly the ones that come to us or that are thinking about coming to us. Actually, they are thrashing about and getting no propulsion from the legs whatsoever, because the legs are not moving them in the water.
No.
But they are getting probably about 85% fatigue from how fast and thrashing about the legs are moving. So we don't necessarily prescribe to using your legs in triathlon, as we probably talked about before, with triathlon being one sport and requiring your legs for running and cycling afterwards, or cycling and running, I should say. And so we use a pull buoy in pretty much all of our sessions, all the time with all our athletes, except the really exceptional swimmers that we've got, when they'll do warm up and warm down without using the pull buoy, but main set with pull buoy.
Yeah.
And it's really good in our view, because for most people, you just don't have time to learn to be a good swimmer. You just don't.
No.
You might have 3, maximum 4 hours a week that you can dedicate to swimming.
Yeah, I think probably more 2 to 3 hours.
Probably most 2 to 3. You just ain't got time to be prattling about doing kickboard exercises and trying to develop a 6-beat kick. Most of the time, you're just making yourself more knackered so that when you start actually trying to do your swimming session, you're tired before you've even started. And it gets you nowhere. Most age group swimmers, their leg propulsion is going to provide them maybe 1% propulsion at absolute most.
And that's if they're good.
What's the point? Get rid of it. Put a pull buoy in. Particularly if you're doing open water events in the UK or in the Northern Hemisphere, Northwestern Europe, where the water temperature tends to be a lot lower anyway, so it's likely to be
wetsuit
compulsory swim, then the pull buoy that you use will help elevate your legs and put you in a place where you are replicating what you would be doing in open water. And yes, if you swim maybe the southern half of Europe or America, maybe the water might end up being warmer. But if you swim enough, you know, 3 or 4 times a week with your pull buoy in, and you are swimming the distance of your event, so I don't mean getting in and swimming for 1,500 metres, 2,000 metres, if you're doing an Ironman, where the minimum you have to swim is 3,900 metres, you're going to have to be swimming 3,900 metres at least three times a week in the run-up to your event, because then you're training your body to be able to do the distance. And with swimming that amount, with your pull buoy in, even if it's a non-wetsuit swim, your body will have learned the position to adapt.
Yeah.
And to adopt to push you up. If you are in the sea, you'll get a benefit anyway, because the sea's got salt in, which makes you buoyant any road.
Yeah, and also if you're in the right position for swimming, teaching your body to learn that position means everything's going to be a lot easier. And a lot of people all disses and what have you and say, "Oh, pull buoys, it's cheating." It's not. If it makes you a better swimmer, why won't you do it?
Yeah. Nobody says to Ronnie O'Sullivan, you got to play left-handed all the time.
No. Or Rory
McIlroy, but you got to play left-handed golf. Yeah. Because you too, you know, because you can't not be a proper golfer unless you can use both hands. It doesn't matter, he's good with one hand or with his right hand, plays like that. He ain't got time to learn how to play left-handed.
Mm.
So he just play the right-handed and can manage. Just play the cards that you're dealt. You've got a few hours available to train. Why make life difficult for yourself?
Mm.
Just so you can be, seek that being a pure triathlon swimmer or a pure swimmer. Mm. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
No.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself. That's what we're doing it for. We're not pros.
You don't need any type 2 fun.
No.
Which we covered in our last episode. Mm. And actually yesterday for Jess.
Oh, yeah.
In the North Links 10K was definitely type 2 fun for her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was an experience, that is for sure.
Mm. You'll swim more often if you enjoy it. And if you put your pull buoy in and it takes out some of the work for you and it makes you less tired while you are swimming, you will enjoy it more, you'll swim more, and you'll get better. And it's a virtuous circle. So, pull buoys, definitely a friend, not cheating.
Yeah. So, what else did you want to talk about today, Oliver?
Well, just carrying on that swimming point, I think kicking obviously makes you more tired. So, we don't do any of that. Like, drills, we don't necessarily recommend unless you're a pretty good swimmer already. Yeah. And then we're using drills to sort of refine your technique. But for most people who just haven't got that swimming background or aren't capable of swimming 4 or 5 times a week where you've got a bit of extra time to spend with them, then we don't really do.
There's no point in swimming 20, 25 minutes worth of drills before your session and you've only got an hour. So then you're even cutting down your time even more. It's just, no,
You've got to be able to over-swim your distance, particularly in Olympic distance and half Ironman distance. If you can swim 3K, you know, comfortably in a session 2 or 3, 4 times a week, then you'll have no bother whatsoever in getting out of the pool or out of the lake or the river or the sea or whatever it might be, and you'll be in the best possible condition you can be to take it on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that it's not the same, but if you look at professional Olympic distance triathletes training on Instagram and what have you, and you can see the sessions they're doing, they ain't swimming 1,500 metres or 2,000 metres and getting out and going, well, I only have to swim 1,500 metres or 750 in a sprint.
No.
They are doing 4, 5, 6K. Mm. I mean, yes, they have the time to be able to do that, but they are over-swimming because it's the fitness that they achieve from doing that helps them to go faster and maintain their aerobic or their best aerobic pace, or BAP as we call it.
Yeah. Yeah, Oliver is quite correct there. You will, I mean, and it makes me laugh when people say, oh, I've done, you see them on I can swim 1,500 metres, I'll be all right for the Olympic. No, you won't. And I can tell you that from my own experience. Mm-hmm. I used to think that when I first started. I thought, first time we did an Olympic, I'll go and swim Rout Lake for it twice. So that's 1,500 metres. Got out and thought, I'll be fine. No, you're not.
Because what had you not factored in?
I'd not factored in people being all around me. I'd not factored in it being choppy. I'd not factored in nerves. I'd not factored in all sorts of things, really. And I was absolutely exhausted when I got out. I didn't know how we're going to get on bike. But you learn.
Yeah. And some really good tips for if you are feeling in that position when you are starting a race, having got into the water, is really simply flush your suit through with the water. What we mean by that is just pull the neck away from you and let some of the water like go into the suit. And this has two effects. One, it helps steady and regulate your breathing down because you're not quite have got that cold shock that you sometimes get, you know, like if you eat an ice cream or an ice pop too fast.
Oh, yeah.
You can flush your body with the suit and that'll you know, steady things down a little bit. But secondly, that water then gets trapped between suit and you and it ends up providing a bit of an insulating layer, particularly if the water is cold, because 8 times out of 10 in the UK and in Northern Europe, the water temperature that you will swim in will be colder than the local leisure centre swimming pool that you've been practising in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because it's a bit of a shock.
Yes. If they're swimming at like 23, 24, you will feel the difference when you go and swimming in a lake and it's 18 degrees or 13.1 as I've done it in before, Tutankhamun. Likewise, just the same as when we used to train at Ponds Forge and they had a competition come in. You'd start at the beginning of the week and they'd maintain a lovely pool temperature and then you'd get to
It were never rinking.
I mean, it were never roasting, but it were comfortable.
Once you got in and you'd done a couple of lengths, you were fine.
But once it starts getting towards competition time at the end of the week, you could feel the temperature going down. You'd get in on a Friday and it would be cold, like much colder than it had been on Wednesday or Monday. And that was purely because they were bringing it down to competition temperature where you swim faster in cold water.
Yeah.
But it's a shock.
Big shock.
But at least in a swimming bath, you can get out. If you're doing a triathlon event, you can't really. You've got to finish it off. So prepare yourself for that. As well as flushing your wetsuit, try and take some time just to have some deep, big, deep breaths.
Steady yourself. Center yourself.
Hydro yoga. I should really patent that. But deep breath, steady, and then very gradually put your face in the water and carry on breathing out and splash your face with the water, because that has some sort of primal effect on you being able to breathe underwater a bit better and overcome the instinctive fear about putting your face in water. So that's also a really good thing. And then the final tip is, if you are not very confident and you're a bit nervous, they will blow the horn or the whistle or whatever it is for people to start, but don't start. Hang about at the back and slightly to the side, and then when the washing machine sets off, you're not in it.
Yeah.
You can let them go for, 10 or 20 seconds, because what's that really in the grand scheme of things? And then set yourself off. And you can work your way around people by doing that, because when they've thrashed about and got themselves absolutely shattered, they'll just they'll be bobbing up and down like seals waiting for a polar bear to pull them off, and you can be the polar bear. Take your time, get yourself ready, and then use it to your advantage. Another thing that I do see often when we're swimming at the leisure centre or when we're coaching is people swimming too hard.
There's
a real temptation, I suppose, in amongst most things, but you certainly find it in swimming, and getting it done as fast as you can because you dislike it. So everything is done at a rip-roaring pace and just raced through all the time. And there are some good swimmers that I've been in the lane with, and I think I can't tell the difference between what you're supposed to be doing on your session that you've just fastened to that board. Because the difference between whatever it is, zones 1 to 5 that people use, or we use easy, moderate, medium, you're supposed to be able to see that.
Yeah. Right?
You should know, am I going easy? Am I going in zone 1 or zone 2 or whatever? You should know that. But so many people think they are doing that, but are absolutely not tuned into what they're doing and are just racing up and down or racing other people in the lane and doing somebody else's session rather than their own. And if you are swimming too fast and too hard, you will get tired, unsurprisingly. You'll get tired more often and more frequently.
And what's the point? You're not adapting. You're not adapting to the session. You're not adapting what your coach has given you a session. So you adapt. It's just like running.
If you went running every week, every session you did just went sprinting as long as you possibly could, would you get any better?
No.
Yes. Well, you would. Initially, you'd get better. But very quickly, you'd hit a plateau and you'd be thinking, why can't I get any better than this? Because you're running too fast all the time and your body's adapted. Same with swimming. If you set off like a
Michael Phelps
or a Marlin, I was going to say, all the time when you're swimming, then yes, you'll get better a bit, you'll get better somewhat sooner than probably you ought to, but
you won't maintain it.
You'll probably hate it because it's so hard and you get out and you're knackered and you'll probably need a nap in an afternoon. Just take it easy. Think the most of my training should be easy. If every swimming session you're doing, you think, oof, that were hard, it probably is too hard. Swim a bit easier. Not everything's a race. Not everything needs to be done hard. There's a time for doing hard work, but most of your stuff should be easy endurance stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's where a lot of people do go wrong, in that they think everything, if you haven't finished your swim, you haven't finished your bike, or you haven't finished your run, and you're absolutely exhausted, you don't think you've done a training session.
Well, in my experience, it tends to be more men who are like that, where they're absolutely beasting themselves or going as hard as they can. You're like, no, mate, there's absolutely no requirement for you to be like that at all.
So, I don't think we've got any other things to talk about with swimming, have we?
No. Takeaways, why you can't breathe very well, why you struggle to maintain a pace when you're swimming, twofold. One, you're not relaxed enough in the water. Two, you're not confident enough in the water. You need to breathe out more rather than breathing in more. It's always a breathing out issue rather than a breathing in issue.
Yeah. Yep. Well, top tip, you could sing. Sing underwater. Yeah. I always tell my athletes that.
Nobody can hear how bad you are.
No.
Also, pole boy is your friend, and make sure that you are making yourself relaxed and confident whatever body of water you're getting in or whatever time. Swimming in the pool, swimming in a race, the key to being successful at both of them is being relaxed and confident in your ability and in the water.
So, I think that's that.
Hmm?
All about that for this week, Oliver.
So, thank you very much. That's been an episode of Triathlonology. I've been Coach Ollie.
I've been Coach Jackie.
And until next time, we'll see you.
We don't do a lot of adverts for anything really, and certainly not for things that we don't believe in. So this is really unusual for us to say, this is an advert for Position One.
Yep, I've got to say, they are the most comfortable triathlon clothing that I've ever worn, and also their chamois cream is to die for.
Socks are really comfortable. I'm actually wearing them now, and it's like having slippers on my feet. So we have tested this product for probably the best part of 6 months and really, really rate them, and they are excellent. You can buy them online at the Position One website and use the discount code Oliver, that's OLIVER, to get 10% off.
Thank you for joining us today.
See you next time.
See you then. Or as we say in Yorkshire, see you.